today on What's Cooking in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen. Celebrating Halloween, Mr. Food style. Our top 10 Halloween candies, plus great recipes that'll have you saying,
"Ooh, it's so good."
Now in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen, along with Merlio and Brian, here's Howard.
I love this time of year. You know, it's the weather's getting cooler. Halloween is upon us. You know, we've done our apple picking. We've had our cider. But one thing that we always knew at our house when it was this time, right before Halloween, is my mom used to take advantage of the sales on cabbage.
Really?
Is that crazy?
At this time of the year.
But it's so abundant this time of year because it's a winter vegetable. And it's just when it starts getting colder at the peak. So do you guys like cabbage?
I love cabbage.
And I know our viewers really.
Yeah, they go crazy for cabbage. Around this time of year, this is when we're always sharing our cabbage recipes and they're loving them.
And what's one of your favorites, yo?
Well, not the typical corned beef and cabbage. We actually use the canned corned beef. And then
canned corned beef?
Oh, absolutely. And it's like growing up, my mother used to make it at least once a week.
No kidding.
Yeah, you do the corned beef and cabbage.
Was
really
that like
quickly.
Spam?
It looks like it. It doesn't taste like it. Oh. But yeah, and you serve that over rice with some ketchup.
Mm. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
People at home are going, oh my God.
You put ketchup on corned beef and cabbage?
Yes.
Ketchup.
I will introduce you to it. It will change your life.
Yes.
Amarilli, how did you enjoy cabbage?
I enjoy cabbage every single way. So I'll eat it fried, steamed, boiled. I mean, basically, you have a cabbage sitting right next to you.
I do.
And I could just take a bite out of it right now.
Well, maybe you can. Let me cut you a nice chunk here.
How do you like your cabbage?
You know, I grew up with cabbage and it was sauerkraut.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, the vinegar and the sugar and one of the hot dogs, or you ate it on the side. And it was just delicious. I mean, that was the way. Or coleslaw.
Coleslaw.
Yeah, lots of coleslaw. Yes. I'll eat it.
But take a bite.
She's actually going to take a bite out of a slice of
a head. I'm waiting for the candy later on. But it smells very fresh.
I'm going to give you up. You've already been into the Halloween candy, Merlin.
Yes.
How many wrappers do you have there now?
Only one so far. I've got the other ones lined up.
Yeah, the other ones.
You know, another dish that we always had, my grandmother made, and it was the best, and the recipe's on MrFood.com. Cabbage.
Love stuffed cabbage.
My grandmother stuffed cabbage. And I remember she would take the head and she would cut the core out and then she would steam the whole head. And while it was hot, she would pull the leaves off so they'd be really tender and then fill it with ground beef and rice and tomato sauce and then like a sweet and sour kind of sauce to go over it. And oh my God, it was delicious. But we learned that it was hot and she would like burn her fingers almost. It was an act of love, obviously.
Sure was.
And one thing we discovered was if you core the cabbage the same way she did and you popped it in the freezer and then took it out of the freezer and let it sit for a day or two, you could just peel those leaves back just as easily and they'd be just as tender.
No kidding.
And you wouldn't burn yourself. So if you're making stuffed cabbage, if you're a cabbage lover, and this time of year is prime for that, that's a really easy way. So you just core it, put it in the freezer, let it get firm like overnight, take it out, let it sit for a day in the fridge, and then just peel it right back. Easy stuffed cabbage.
Do you have to use a certain type of cabbage? I know that there are different varieties.
Well, these are traditional green head cabbage, so it almost looks like a head of iceberg. I mean, there's lots of fancier cabbages, you know, the salad savoys and Chinese cabbage, bok choys and things like that. But this is traditional. But again, you could probably use any of those leaves to do like an updated version of stuffed cabbage.
I've even seen some people who do like an unstuffed stuffed cabbage. Which so it's kind of like, because I've heard that stuffed cabbage is a lot of work.
It is.
So, you know, it's sort of the same ingredients, but you just don't do all the stuff.
You sort of layer it in a pot. I do believe we have on MrFood.com a recipe you do in a pot and you do like meatballs and then you do some of the sauce you're getting all the flavor, tastes the same. If you ate it blindfolded, you wouldn't even know the difference.
What's the difference between a stuffed cabbage and pigs in a blanket?
Same difference.
Same thing. I was raised on that.
What side of the street you're from?
Or which side of the river where I came
from.
So that was about the same way.
Yeah. But also with cabbage, you know, some people aren't fans of it, so to speak, but there's ways to incorporate it into your diet other ways because it really is good for you. And you could like shred it really fine, put it in your salads and your soups, and it's like...
It's great for fiber.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know.
On our diabetic website, everydaydiabeticrecipes.com, it's very popular because cabbage is a low-carb vegetable, so it's very... common to find it in diabetic friendly recipes.
It only has like 20 calories per cup or something like that. So it's
so you can eat all the cabbage.
You can eat a lot of cabbage. And make sure all your friends eat the same amount of cabbage.
Yes.
We're not going to go into why. But I think you figure it out.
And then some other things that cabbage is good for is that it helps reduce inflammation in the body. So it's good for your heart. It also helps reduce blood pressure. And as Howard mentioned, it is fibrous. So
it helps you when you're backed up, per se.
There you go.
Per se.
And we have another recipe on MrFood.com. It's called Bubble and Squeak. And I've always wanted to know, why is it called that?
Well, when you make Bubble and Squeak, which is chunks of boiled potatoes, stir-fried almost, or sautéed with chunks of cabbage, when you stir it, let me just grab the cabbage right here. You sort of hear that,
that squeaky noise.
When you stir the chunks of cabbage up, you get that squeaky noise. And as the potatoes sort of cook, they bubble. Huh. So it's an Irish dish called Bubble and Squeak. It's delicious. And it's very simple, but it's a great side dish, or you could always, you know, add like some chunks of meat to it. A really nice dish. And again, it's on MrFood.com, Bubble and Squeak.
And hearty at that.
And another big popular is red cabbage. Mm-hmm. I love
sweet, so pretty.
Sweet and sour red cabbage.
Not a fan.
Oh, a nice German dish.
I know.
They usually put apples in that one, right?
Apples is good with it. That with your schnitzel. A good schnitzel and a red.
I really like to put it in my salads because it's just so pretty. But yeah, it's beautiful for just like presentation and everything. The red cabbage is really
it is.
Nice,
I agree. I like it when they put it, like they garnish your burgers with it, mm-hmm. or even just a little bit on top of your dinner. It's good.
Even if you take some shredded and you toss it with a little bit of flour and then like deep fry it and just some oil so it gets crispy, almost like fried onions.
I've never
now that sounds
before.
Great.
So it's crispy, crunchy. It's just another texture.
Oh.
And people just love cabbage. I mean, it's something you might not admit, but I think you really do like.
So we talked about one kind of fermented cabbage, which is sauerkraut. But there's another one that's pretty popular, kind of trendy these days. It's called kimchi. It's actually a Korean food. It's Korea's national dish. And it's basically spicy, pickled, or fermented mixture that contains cabbage, onions, and sometimes fish. It's seasoned. I mean, there's over 200 ways to make it. Have you guys ever had it?
I've never had kimchi.
Mm, I've tried it, and I did not like it.
I've had a few varieties, and there's most of the time I don't like it, and every once in a while it's like, oh, okay.
Strong flavor to it.
When you say strong flavor, what do you mean?
It's like it bites. You get that feeling at the back of your
throat. It's been described as a spicy sauerkraut. So,
so imagine that.
Yeah.
So it's and it's like very, at least in my experience, it's very fermented.
Yeah.
So.
Not
I like sweet sauerkraut.
Oh, so do I.
Oh,
yeah.
Love sweet sauerkraut.
You know, back to my grandmother, who obviously she cooked with a lot of cabbage. She's Eastern European, and everything was about the pennies, you know, how could I make a meal? She had 8 kids.
Oh, wow.
So when everybody was home, there was 10 in the family. So she made cabbage soup. To this day, it's my absolute favorite soup. It's cabbage soup with crushed tomatoes. She puts brown sugar. She used to use something called sour salt, which you don't really find in the markets
anymore.
Never heard of that, no.
It's like just an acid. So we just use lemon juice and a little bit of beef stock, or you can use chicken stock. It is delicious. And the cabbage, and we had to have it with rye bread and butter, and that was a meal right there. Sometimes we put short ribs in it. So cabbage, again, you can saute it, bubble and squeak, put it on top of your hot dogs.
Don't forget the fried cabbage on MrFood.com. It's super popular.
I gotta try that. That sounds really good.
Yeah,
it's super popular. I think it has over 145 votes on our site.
Okay, so go out, you know, take this weekend while you're picking up your pumpkin for Halloween and picking up that candy, which we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. Pick up, you know, whether it be red cabbage, Napa cabbage, Asian cabbage, bok choy, salad Savoy. Any way you have cabbage, you're going to be saying, ooh, it's so good.
Coming up, great slow cooker fall recipes you can set and forget. And Halloween party ideas, including cookie eyeballs. As we find out what's cooking in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years and years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
1-800-899-6030.
They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, Consolidated Credit Programs will teach you how to get out and stay out of debt.
Call 800-899-6030. 800-899-6030. That's 800-899-6030. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM19, Oregon DM80031. Services are primarily educational in nature.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044.
We're back in the Test Kitchen, and as you know, we love our cookbooks. Obviously, Mr. Food, Test Kitchen has done lots of cookbooks over the years, but when we come across a cookbook that we really think stands out that we want to share with you, we love doing it. And today, we have Stephanie O'Day, who is, I would say, a pro when it comes to slow cooking. Wouldn't you say so, guys?
Yep.
Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me and for that awesome introduction. I'll take it.
You know, anyone who's a slow cooker is a friend of ours, that's for sure. So tell us about your latest cookbook. I know you've done a number of them, but let's talk about your latest one.
So actually, it's funny. My latest one is the easiest of the easiest. I think of crock potting as kind of dump it in, push a button, and walk away. But we've got a lot of like brand new cooks. We've got the millennial market, and then we also have kind of the baby boomer empty nesters. And they wanted easy, easy, easy. And so this new one is 5 ingredients or less.
Wow.
The challenge for me was I tried to keep away from like tons and tons of processed foods. So this is as close to scratch as you can get and still keep it 5 ingredients or less.
Give me an example of one or two of these recipes, just tempt my taste buds.
Sure. So for instance, what I've got going today in the pot is some steak chunks, kind of like stew meat. Mm-hmm. And the base is actually a jar of salsa, which is absolutely not from scratch. But what's nice from using a jar of salsa is it keeps you from dicing onions, garlic, tomato, and all of this other stuff.
We love shortcuts.
At 6 a.m. in the morning. So you dump it in and you have a beautiful, rich base without having to mess up your kitchen.
Right. And how long will that cook for?
I'm going to cook it for about 8 hours on low. I like the new programmable cookers. So even if you're out of the house for 10 to 12 hours, you set the timer for 6 or 8 or however the recipe asks you to, and then your food stays hot and safe and ready until you walk in the door. The old school slow cookers, they had low, medium, and high, and that was it. So these new ones really are better. And from a safety standpoint, I just really recommend them.
Absolutely. You know, people who haven't experienced slow cooking are missing out, in my opinion, and obviously in yours, because your whole cooking career is really based on slow cooking. But it's so nice to walk into your house and have that aroma of a hot cooked meal after being at work, especially, you know, as we come to the fall and the winter. There's nothing better.
Sort of look at it as kind of my live-in domestic help. So I push the button and then I can go do whatever it is I want to do all day. And it's great, especially because I have little kids in the house and they are well-behaved, good kids. That said, when it hits 5, 6 o'clock, they're tired and cranky. They don't want to wait around while I figure out what to make dinner. So I like to figure it out early while I'm still caffeinated and coherent in the morning.
And you know what's really nice too is tonight you could put everything together, take the crock, put it in the fridge or put it into a bowl and then just dump it in the morning and then start. So because a lot of people, you know, they're up at 6 o'clock, maybe they're working out, they're getting the kids out the door. They don't even have time in the morning. So you could get
Absolutely.
Everything together the night before. So you're almost working a day ahead. And then when you come home, it's just ready. Tell us what some of the favorites are. How are your chapters broken down in the book?
Sure. So in this book, it's broken down very traditionally. You've got a chapter on appetizers, a chapter on side dishes, one on soups and stews. You've got casseroles. We also have vegetarian and vegan recipes. I'm from California. I can't go to a potluck unless there's a vegan and vegetarian option. It's par for the course around here.
It's definitely growing, and with all the Whole Foods and the fresh markets, everybody wants to eat healthier. They're looking for ways. I mean, Merle right now, she's not eating any meat.
No. What is one of your favorite recipes from that book?
You know, I really have a bit of a sweet tooth going right now. Nice. So I'm interested in all things dessert. So the fact that I figured out that you can actually use the slow cooker as a bain-marie and make a perfect cheesecake in the slow cooker with only 5 ingredients.
People at home who might not be familiar with what a bain-marie is, it's actually like putting a pan in another pan of water. So it's in a water bath. And the slow cooker is great for that because, you know, you cover it, it keeps all that moisture, the steam. So everything bakes. If you're baking a cake or a cheesecake, it's nice and moist, which is really a nice advantage to that.
Absolutely. I should also point out for your listeners that we happen to be a gluten-free family because my middle daughter was diagnosed with celiac when she was really little.
Wow.
She's fine now, but because of this, all of the recipes I create happen to be gluten-free. Most of my readers are not gluten-free, so they don't even realize what it is. It's interesting. I didn't realize until I started writing about this what a subset of the market it is.
And how did you start getting into the whole slow cooker world?
As a young wife, I got married at 21. I decided I needed to become domestic. And so I asked my family for a slow cooker, a food dehydrator, and a pasta machine. And the only thing that really worked was the slow cooker. So everything else got free cycled. But I still have that first slow cooker, and I love it. And then the way the cookbooks came about was in 2008, I made a New Year's resolution to use my slow cooker every day for a year and write about it online. Mostly, I just kind of wanted to give myself a project and learn how to write on the internet. And so everything sort of fell together from there.
I saw that you also offer weekly meal plans. Could you tell me more about that?
Sure. So meal planning and crock potting kind of go hand in hand. In order to plan a slow cooker meal, you need to already have the food in the house if you're going to put it on in the morning. And what I'm finding is for busy families, having a set meal plan and going to the grocery store only once a week is incredibly beneficial. So the meal plan just lists all of the dinners Monday through Friday along with a coordinating grocery list. So you don't even have to think about it. I tell you, okay, you need 3 cans of black beans this week and so on and so forth.
I'm imagining at times you do a steak on the grill per se or fish or whatever it may be, and then you just do a side dish in your slow cooker?
I do, especially because I have a wonderful husband who wants to barbecue, and I'm certainly not going to say no if somebody wants to take over cooking duty. So I'm like, oh, well, let me make some sweet potatoes to go along with.
And how about for the holidays? I mean, we're all going to be cooking our oven. You know, we're going to have the turkey in the oven. We're going to have the ham in the oven. What are some side dishes or recommendations that you can give to our listeners that would just be helpful around the holidays?
I like to host. I have about 30 people over for Thanksgiving dinner, and we do the turkey in the oven, but I line the countertop with 8 or 9 slow cookers. So all of the side dishes, we do regular stuffing and cornbread stuffing, mashed potatoes, creamed corn, candied sweet potatoes, all of the traditional side dishes. But what I love is I can get out of the kitchen by about 10 a.m. And
great.
It's funny because I clean and I mop it and I put a little sign like, don't go in. So then I can enjoy my guests when they arrive and I'm not like chopping or standing over the stove.
How about something for Halloween? I mean, is there a dish, whether it be chili or something, that you make for Halloween? Maybe have neighbors come over as well when the kids are trick-or-treating and you share that?
Before I started slow cooking, we would do like a pizza and a pizza night or something easy. And now what we do is I kind of make either a pizza chili or a pizza soup. And what I do like is a big batch of it will serve 12 to 14 people. And so if we do have extra neighbors in the house, or actually my parents and my husband's parents like to come over also.
And you get the picture of the grandchildren. Grandchildren.
Absolutely. And it just having something nice and hearty to suck up all the sugar is great. And I appreciate that if they want a little something at 6 o'clock, they can. And then when we're home again in the evening, the soup is still hot and ready to go if they want another bowl.
Is there one favorite recipe that you said, you know, I made this, no one would ever guess I did it in a slow cooker, and it's my absolute favorite?
It's actually from my first cookbook, and it is on my website, which is ayearofslowcooking.com. People are blown away that I have made falafel in the slow cooker.
Really?
And what's neat about it is falafel is smashed up garbanzo beans and a whole bunch of spices, and usually they're deep fried in oil and then put in a pita wrap. But I made them by making the little patties, and you kind of make a golf ball size and you smush them. But then just with a tiny bit of olive oil on the bottom of the slow cooker, I baked them, and all of the moisture stays in the pot, and it's just delicious, and the spices are perfect, and you never would have guessed that it occurred in a crock pot.
Wow, that is great. It loves surprising people. So where can people get your book?
They're available at your friendly neighborhood bookstore or online at Amazon. And then my website, the main home site, is stephanieoday.com.
Well, we thank you for sharing these tips. I can't wait. I think tomorrow it's going to be a slow cooker night for us. And together, we're going to be saying, ooh, it's so good.
And still to come, the enormous amount of candy we eat each year. And what candies top the Halloween treat list? All that and more right here in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
This advertisement is neither an offer to lend nor a commitment of funding. Penn Funding is a marketing and information firm for business.
Attention, small business owners! Penn Funding announces the easiest and fastest business funding program, the Platinum Business Account.
We needed cash, fast. Business is good, but this is an emergency.
We needed some new equipment, and the banks wouldn't help us.
At Penn Funding, we like to say, yes, you're approved. With your Platinum Business Account, you could qualify for up to $50,000 or more. Call 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. This amazing new business account funding program is so effective, you could have the cash you need in just days.
I called Penn Funding and had my money fast.
Call now for your Platinum Business Account. If you've been in business for at least 6 months, you could qualify for up to $50,000 or more in just days. Call 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357.
Still to come, decorative treats you can make to scare your ghosts and goblins. What to do with that leftover Halloween candy. Our top five things you can make for Halloween. Plus, great recipes that'll have you saying,
ooh, it's so good.
Now in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen, along with Merle, Brian, and Yo, here's Howard.
We're back in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen, and today we're talking about Halloween candy.
Yes.
You know, I never saw such a happy group. We're sitting here with like a pumpkin that you would go door to door with, a little jack-o'-lantern filled with all sorts of Halloween candy, nibbling on it. And to say that we haven't had any yet, we would be lying. Growing up, what are your memories of trick-or-treating, handing out candy, or being on the other side as a recipient?
As a kid, my mom did not participate in Halloween.
So I'm just going to interrupt. If we're eating, it's okay.
Is it okay to do?
Yes,
can we? Okay.
You can eat and nibble on candy because it's pertinent to what we're talking about. Okay, got that out of the way. When you were young.
Oh, when I was young, you know, my mom wasn't a big Halloween fan, so I'd always go to my friend's house, and her neighborhood had the best candy. We'd come back with like pillowcases full. It was ridiculous.
Did they give the full size bars or the little ones? So the best neighborhoods when I was growing up gave full size.
I have never been to a neighborhood where they gave a full size bar.
Oh, yeah.
We'd get the good candy, but it would always be the bite-sized kind.
I mean, candy's expensive. Who's buying the full-size? I mean, one bag of the mini candy, it's like nowadays it's like $10 or something.
Howard's neighborhood.
17. Yeah. We were at one of the big box stores over the weekend, and it was $17 for, it was like 90 ounces or something crazy. But it's expensive. So $10, that's rare even, or you're getting a smaller bag.
I noticed some of the commercials for Halloween candy were listing the number of pieces, like 96 pieces, and it was $9.60 to buy the bag. 10 cents a piece. Okay, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next commercial that came on, it was like 25 pieces. It was $4.95, and I'm like, I think I'll go for the 96.
Mm-hmm. So when people trick or treat, do you give them one piece if you have the smaller fun size bars or the Pez?
I give them a couple.
Yeah, I give them kind of a handful.
Yeah, right. Most people give like
a handful. So you're better off giving off just a big bar by the time you get done.
Well, in the beginning, I give them a couple. If it starts to dwindle down and it's the end of the night, you're going to get one. Or I'm going to turn the lights off. However that works.
Biggest Halloween you've ever had? How much candy you gave away?
We probably get a couple hundred kids.
I'm the person that keeps the lights off.
Do you?
So I do not pass out candy.
Oh, we do.
You hide in the bedroom with the pillows up around your head so you don't hear anything happening?
No, I usually go to a friend's house and then they give out candy over there. So I hang out on their driveway.
Nowadays, I go with my friends who have kids and we go to the mall. And walk around because they all give the candy.
I remember my first few Halloweens going to the mall. And it was nice because you're guaranteed candy at the mall. But it's not the same. Like, the experience was like, okay, like, we're just walking around the mall. Like, I felt like we're cattle just going from store to store.
No, you know, there's a balance between small neighborhoods and the apartments and such where you can get a lot of houses in quickly.
Yeah.
And the big houses, which maybe give out nicer full-size bars. But then you have to really walk up that quarter-mile driveway.
Be nice to have a golf court in those cases.
Right. Or you're piling through the leaves, which, I mean, are everywhere this time of year again. But we have all of our neighbors come over, sit in the driveways. Everyone's out there.
That's the neat thing about
a pot of chili.
Being south.
Yeah.
People sit out and enjoy the camaraderie of the neighborhood, which is fantastic. We're up north.
It's pretty cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
You spend 2 weeks coming up with the perfect ghost outfit, and then you put the winter coat over and snow pants.
But I guess it works both ways, because here it's so hot that sometimes whatever costume you're wearing, you're like sweltering, you're dying inside about four houses in.
Three quarters of the country is jealous right now. You know, I have to tell you that. I used to be the guy who took and converted his garage into a haunted house.
Oh, that's fun. Awesome.
Yeah. I saw you in the post office.
I love that.
I was. And the 1 year I did it, and the response was unbelievable by the kids in the neighborhood. It was a fairly close neighborhood. The terms of the houses were close, and there were a lot of it as a development. The second year I did it, I planned ahead. And I won't tell you how much candy yet I bought, but I will tell you that three television stations showed up to
that's
video
awesome.
Me and my little performance I was doing. And that year, gave over 2,000 pieces of candy away.
Oh, my word.
You talk about buying cheap candy? Because I was ready for it.
Here's your one M&M. Here's your second M&M.
It's a bean. Here's your bean.
A Skittle will do. I love haunted houses.
Yeah.
I enjoy them. And I really enjoy going with people who are like scared out of their wits.
How about corn mazes?
I've never.
Never been through a corn maze?
No.
Oh, and Merle hasn't either. Howard, I'm sure, has been through several.
Yes, we have been. Up
in that's a big thing.
Yeah.
So as I open my Twix bar right now, I want to know, what are you guys' favorite candy?
Chocolate or just candy?
I guess both. Like, what's your favorite chocolate bar and what's your favorite other candy?
I love Snickers. I can't get enough. Mm-hmm. Skittles, if it weren't chocolate.
Yeah, I like the sweet tarty kind of that type.
Yeah.
And then I also like retro candy. I know I'm going to sound
what's
like
retro?
You know, the
Hershey bar?
No, that's
popular classic.
Today. That's classic. Yeah. Charleston Chews has a marshmallow type filling.
Okay.
That frozen or Snickers frozen. Yum. Oh.
Pretty good.
I love Snickers ice cream.
But do you remember when you were younger, did your neighbors ever like bake cookies? Again, this is before, maybe not in your age. You never had neighbors.
Not even
bake
growing up.
Yep.
Nope.
No.
Apples?
No. Apples. That was,
and again, there always became problems, which was very sad.
Stranger danger.
Absolutely. Today, it's not acceptable. It hasn't been for many years, but
candy corn. I've never been a real fan of, and we're going to talk about that later
Me
on.
Me either. Not a big candy corn fan, but it's huge.
We have a dentist in the neighborhood who hands out toothbrushes.
Does he really?
Toothbrushes and a little thing of toothpaste with his name on
and
it.
And every year he gets teepeed.
No.
Or new customers.
Well, speaking of the candy corn, I actually found this fact from the National Candy Confectioners Association, and it said that when it comes to candy corn, 52% of people say that it's just not Halloween without it, but 48% of people would rather just skip it. And I'm in that 48%.
Yeah, I'm in that also.
I don't need it either.
No.
I mean, I agree. I was like, it's weird not to see it, but I won't eat it. I'm like,
yeah. It's a good action. You have to have it on the table. It's like, you know, the candy your grandmother used to have on the coffee table.
Yeah.
You never ate it, but it sure looked good.
But on the flip side, my husband would eat it by the pound.
Really?
Disgusting.
And they even make like candy corn flavored like Oreo cookies.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah, and that's you bypass that right there. Yeah.
We consume 90 million pounds of chocolate the week of Halloween.
I can see that.
Is that around, I guess, just in the U.S.?
That's in the U.S.
Wow.
That's a lot of chocolate.
A lot of cavities.
People love their chocolate.
They have it home. They eat it for a couple of days. Then they bring it to the office because they don't want to eat it at home. So now, instead of not having any during the day, you walk by the bowl and, I'm just going to have a piece here and I'm going to have another piece here. So you end up eating your neighbor's candy that you didn't want to eat at your house during the day.
Well, that's funny because another fact that I read was that more than 6 in 10 shoppers, they choose their own favorites when picking the Halloween candy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably because they have intentions. Oh, whatever's left over,
we'll,
you know.
Just eat it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we're actually the opposite. We actually picked up the candy the other day, and Patty will buy stuff that she doesn't like.
Smart.
So
lady.
When it's left
she
over, she's not tempted to eat it.
Ah. So what are you guys buying
but
then?
Howard eats
liverwurst.
Would you like a liverwurst bar? Here you go.
But a good idea for that leftover candy, we have our candy bar brownie trifle on MrFood.com, which is basically you taking all your leftover candy and making this beautiful trifle. It's just another way to consume it.
Right.
But
that's a favorite recipe here. I feel like we've celebrated a few birthdays with that candy bar
because
trifle.
Can't get
it. Well, how can you miss?
Yeah.
You know, brownies, candy bar.
You throw whatever you have that's left over in there, and
we also,
chocolate's
don't we have a candy
winner.
Bar pizookie as well?
We do, which is like a pizza cookie.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a cookie layer, and then it has like a filling. It has crushed candy bars and chocolate, and
you
then
bake
more
it in
cookie
a skillet.
On top.
Right.
So you can do it like in a cast iron skillet. Delicious.
Oh, it's really good.
Did mom or dad make food before you went trick or treating?
No, we just ate dinner and then
regular dinner.
Out we went to create mayhem.
Yeah, we would just eat pizza.
Pizza.
What about you?
Mom always made chili. It was a standard.
It's a great tradition, though.
You can see a pattern in my family. There was a lot of cabbage. There was a lot of chili. We didn't have a lot of friends.
You guys are really explosive, I can tell.
That's right. So I'm having this little Butterfinger here. And there's something nice about those little bite-sized ones, because then if you figure, you know, you can eat two or three of them and not feel quite as guilty.
Don't mind
but
if I do.
More people now are mindful of eating these in moderation because each one of these little fun-sized bars, I believe it's like 80 to 100 calories depending on which one you're eating.
Or which six you're eating.
Or which six you're eating. So, you know, they add up pretty quick. What are the most popular candy bars to pass out during Halloween?
And they are?
Well, the number one, and not surprising to me, was the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
I love them.
Love them.
Love them.
So you can go on our website, get lots of ideas to use up your leftover candy. And also, maybe you'll post what our top 10 are. And I'm going to finish this butter crunch, and I'm going to try and say, ooh, it's so good.
Coming up, decorative things to make for Halloween, plus a couple of recipes you've got to try, including cookie eyeballs, as we continue right here in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
Attention baby boomers and seniors, introducing Vantage Therapeutic Walk-In Baths. Never worry about falling in the tub again.
After two knee replacements, I needed help just to get in the tub for a shower.
I want to stay independent and in my home.
With a Vantage Walk-In, it's like having your own personal hot tub, so you can bathe, relax, and ease the pain in your muscles and joints. Your Vantage Walk-In Bath includes therapeutic features like hydrotherapy jet massage, aroma, microbubble, color, and ozone therapy. It's like getting a massage every time you take a bath. So call now to receive an instant cash rebate and a free in-home consultation.
I love my Vantage and my knees feel better.
Call now for a free, no-obligation in-home consultation. You qualify for an instant rebate and we offer affordable financing options. Call 800-619-4955. 800-619-4955. 800-619-4955.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years and years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
1-800-899-6030.
They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, Consolidated Credit Programs will teach you how to get out and stay out of debt.
Call 800-899-6030. 800-899-6030. That's 800-899-6030.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM19, Oregon DM80031. Services are primarily educational in nature.
We're back in the test kitchen. I'm Howard. And we're talking about Halloween party ideas. Growing up, did you go to Halloween parties? You still go to Halloween parties?
Yes, and
I think
yes.
I go to them more now that I'm older than before.
I did in my 20s. 20s and 30s.
So that was back in the dark ages.
Yeah, before electricity and phones were invented. It's okay.
Hey, Merle, this is your favorite holiday.
This is my Christmas. I mean, I am drinking out of a skull glass right now.
Yes, you are.
As soon as every Halloween decoration went on sale, I started my shopping.
Do you buy those $99 outside inflatable things?
No, I am more tasteful about it because since it does stay in my house all year long.
Oh, it does.
Oh, it does, yes.
Do you have any like tombstones in your backyard?
I have like spider snow globes and I have the Day of the Dead skulls everywhere. I mean, yeah, one day I'll have to invite you all so you guys can check it out.
Anyone ever go bobbing for apples?
No, but we did it on the show once.
And we
you
did.
Went we got to watch apples. You do it, which was amazing.
Oh, so it's so much more fun.
Watching someone else try to
I'm
do it.
I'm sort of like the family pet, you know. Let's see if Howard will do it. If
A
Howard
lot less wet. You came out of that bin just dripping water.
It is fun, though. And what is the tradition behind it?
Back during the Roman invasion of Britain, apples were used to determine if marriages were going to happen during a festival. So, you know, the game came about when young, unmarried people go to this festival and people would bite into the apples floating in the water or hanging from a string. And the first person to bite into one of them would be possibly the next to get married.
I feel like some people probably intentionally avoided biting the apple.
Like throwing the bouquet at the wedding. It's kind of the same concept.
Yeah. Did you ever try to catch
it's
an
hard.
Apple on a string? To bite into an apple
no,
on a string?
But I
it's
saw...
almost as bad as the water.
Oh, really? It's tough.
Oh, it's real tough.
So is it really just hung like they just it's... hang a bunch of apples on
no,
a string?
No, like there's nothing to hold it from
and it's
flying
really
away
big.
From you.
Yeah, so you just keep bumping it kind of.
You know, that would be a really good video, though.
That's amusing. Yeah, I sort of want to try that.
That would be a really fun video, like a really tight shot. And you just sort of see the head come in and the apple swing behind.
Whack.
We should do that. Let's
grows a tooth.
Let's try and do that on MrFood.com.
Awesome.
You ever play Pass the Pumpkin?
I've not played Pass the
no.
Pumpkin.
Is that kind of like musical chairs?
Last person standing has a pumpkin and that's the winner.
And then I think every Halloween party or many that I've been to, they always have a like a carving, jack-o'-lantern carving contest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
I remember a few years back, we were up in Asheville, North Carolina, and they had this huge pumpkin carving at the Grove Park Inn. Grove Park Inn is a beautiful
sweet spot
resort, per se, overlooking the Blue Hill Mountains. And they had the most outrageous pumpkin that were carved. I mean, they were just gorgeous.
So were people carving them live or you're saying they already
people
had them
were carving
display?
Them. Their chefs already had them on display. But I mean, it had to be, they had a fireplace that they were all surrounded, but you could probably have dinner for four in this fireplace. It was that big.
That big.
Carving a pumpkin is a great family activity. And again, you can go from as simple as just drawing on it with markers and getting creative like that or painting to truly carving it. And there's some really nice
Yeah, ones. Now they have so many stencils for all of your favorite characters. I think they've made it so easy for everyone of all ages to do it. And they even have like the little plastic tools. And
right.
I mean, it's pretty simple these days.
I remember you carved your first pumpkin right
I
here.
I did.
Did you really?
It was like watching her first steps.
I was very excited. It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, though.
You know, that's a great tradition, though. I used to do with my girls when they were growing up. We would get them each a pumpkin. I'd have a pumpkin. Mine always was left because I was helping them. They loved to try things with it. And my eldest daughter is quite an artist, and she got very intricate using those little plastic tools.
Yeah.
And they would look great.
All of those ideas are great ways to entertain for Halloween.
Yeah,
so,
it's a visual part of it.
Right. And speaking of visual, I like visuals when it comes to food.
Of course.
So our Bloody Sundays on MrFood.com, they're so pretty. They look like skeletons
Is
and skulls.
Is pretty the right word?
Scary. Yeah. I mean,
Bloody and Sunday don't normally go together to being a nice and fuzzy warm thing.
You know, it's vanilla ice cream and raspberry soda and, you know, you garnish it and it really looks like the Sunday's bleeding.
And if you're going to be serving, I mean, you have to buy the skull glasses for that one because that's what really makes it look like.
That's if Merle didn't buy them all for her Thanksgiving Day table.
And you can buy them. I mean, the one that I'm drinking out of right now is only $1.99. They sell this stuff at the dollar store.
The dollar store probably has it for a buck.
Oh, yeah. You can stock up on all Halloween stuff for the, at the dollar store.
We also have a recipe for cookie eyeballs.
Yep.
Excuse me?
that wasn't a nickname or anything for you.
They're kind of like cookie truffles, but they're poppers, and you know they're very cute, and you can lay them out on your display.
But people they look
can
grab bloodshot some. Eyes.
Yeah, they're easy to decorate because I think you use an M&M for the color of the eye.
Yeah,
and then you just drizzle on some red
gel, just some decorating gel, so which you can get like at every market. So that's really nice. What kind of food do you guys eat when you go out? I mean, earlier we talked about that. My mom always made chili. What are some other things that you mentioned? Pizza? Is it ever homemade or is it
always just order pizza?
I think it's the second biggest pizza day next to Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, one of them.
No kidding.
Because people, you know, grab and go.
Thanksgiving Eve and Christmas Eve also. Yep. I know, especially Thanksgiving Eve's big for for pizza. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Which I find hard to believe because I'm doing so much cooking and tasting at the same time that I get full off, you know, the preparation. But, you know, if you're not cooking, then pizza's quick and easy.
What other kinds of things did you ever have? Nothing special? Just the pizza, sandwiches? A lot of times my neighbor always makes these honey garlic drumsticks.
Oh.
We actually did it for a show ways back, and she tried the recipe, and now that's like her new tradition. Because the garlic helps keep the vampires away.
And that's cute.
Yeah. So she puts out a big tray of those, and you can eat them hot or cold. It doesn't really matter. Really nice.
Brian, I know you mentioned you did the haunted houses, and I loved them. So I was just wondering, like, each season, each Halloween, do you do a different kind of theme?
Well, I haven't done it in a number of years. So this was back about 20 years or so.
So was it always like a haunted house?
It was a haunted house.
Graveyard.
It's amazing what you do when you're single, huh?
I would line the garage with black trash bags and use those cobwebs everywhere. And then I would be in total black with a mask on. They could not see me. And coming in, there were strobe lights. So they were
disoriented
when they walked in.
Hilarious.
And of course, the bowl of candy is there in the middle of the garage, and it's all dark, and these cobwebs are hanging down, and there's figures around in the whole bit. And of course, the kids would go up, and about the time they reached for the candy, I would suddenly just come off a wall.
You've been off the wall for
a long, long time.
It's been a long, long time.
I went into this haunted house once when I was a kid that I thought was pretty cool. What they did was you actually walk through it, and at one point they had bowls, and it was filled, I learned later, that it was filled with food, but the food was supposed to mimic other things. So there was one bowl that was filled with spaghetti. Yeah, spaghetti, and then they had like some meatballs. So I think, you know, you're supposed to feel around and be like, oh, this is like brains or guts.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, and then there was another one that had like Jello in it, and it was the same kind of concept. So that was kind of a cool thing.
Always like the hands that come out too.
Oh, dish.
There's some really cute candy dishes
out
there.
Yeah.
The ones that actually talk when you go in. You know, where they'll sort of slap you as you go and get something.
That's just fun.
I think
my wife has that built into every dish I have. I go and grab one, it's like, boom.
But if you're not going to, like, do home entertaining, I always enjoy going to, like, Halloween Horror Nights or, you know, like, Universal Studios or just the theme parks that put on these huge
And they're a lot Halloween- safer. I mean,
yeah.
It's nice they can be done over the weekend instead of if Halloween falls during the week or something like that. So it's nice.
Yeah.
No matter what you're making this year, whatever candy you're serving, if you're decorating your garage like Brian did and scaring the jeepers out of your neighborhood kids, we want to make sure that everyone has a safe one and one filled with lots of, ooh, it's so good.
And if you'd like to make any of the great recipes or see the ideas we've talked about on today's show, go to MrFood.com and click the radio button. What's Cooking in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen is a production of Ginsburg Enterprises Incorporated. All rights reserved. And remember, as we always say here in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen,
ooh, it's so good!